KALW.
These guys are still in prison, no matter how we look at it, what it looks like. They try to make their lives as easy as possible. And as I keep hearing from the guards, they keep saying, we're not here to punish them. They have already punished themselves by putting themselves here.
Prisons in Norway are often called some of the most humane in the world.
It's a three-star hotel.
Three-star hotel?
It's like the Holiday Inn.
So the team at Uncuffed went to see for themselves how they compare to prisons in California.
So they have tomatoes, oranges, apples. There are spices. Look at this. They have actual meat that you can buy. They have hot dogs. This is a real grocery store, y'all.
From prison grocery stores to great relationships with the guards, Uncuffed goes to Norway. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. When you hear about prison and criminal justice reform in California, you'll hear about things like reducing overcrowding, dismantling the death penalty, changing the three strikes law, and you'll also hear about Norway. Norwegian prisons are very different from U.S. prisons, everything from their design and architecture to the length of sentences to how guards are trained to treat incarcerated people. It's one of the reasons why California officials have used Norway as an example for change. Last year, when Governor Gavin Newsom announced a multi-million dollar transformation at San Quentin into a more rehabilitative facility, he used Norwegian prisons as a model. In 2022, some of the team of Uncuffed got the opportunity to travel to Norway to see for themselves how prisons work over there. An episode about that trip just won the Silver Award at the New York Festival Radio Awards, so we're re-airing it today.
I'm Greg Eskridge, coming at you from the San Quentin side of Uncuffed. Today we have something special for you. We're going to take it out of San Quentin, out of California, out of the United States even. That's right, Uncuffed is taking you to Norway. So last summer, we heard that a bunch of Uncuffed staff and former participants on the outside were taking a trip to Oslo. You may be like, why Norway? Well, when we heard, we knew exactly why. Norway is known for having a very unique prison system. It's often called the most humane in the world. Uncuffed producer Tommy Shakur Ross was one of the guys on that trip, visiting these Norwegian prisons we've heard so much about. And he took a tour of one of the most famous high-security Norwegian prisons called Halden. Halden has won awards for its architecture and has been featured in documentaries. Let's listen to what Shakur shared back with us. Just a note, here at Uncuffed, we do not use the word inmate. We prefer to go by incarcerated folks. However, in Norway, things are different. So you'll hear that word used a couple of times.
One at a time, leave everything in the boxes, and then you have to go through without the beep. It's the same procedure as you have everywhere. So if one just keep the door, I will just...
After spending so much time in an American prison, it was a trip to check myself in voluntarily to a prison in another country.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Hi.
So,
when we arrived at Halden, a correctional officer named Linda Hansen met us out front. She was friendly and engaging. She'd been a guard here for almost 10 years. Today, she was our tour guide.
So this is where all inmates are coming. Either they are leaving or entering the premises. So here they will be taken into either checkup or straight into the cells.
In California, I was taken into prison in a van with no windows, wearing shackles. In Norway, Linda says a lot of guys just check themselves in.
Yeah, they show up. They have gotten a letter that they are supposed to show up for the doing a sentence, and many of them actually do meet up. So yeah,
wow.
A lot of them are coming in by themselves.
Hard to imagine just strolling up to the gate and be like, okay, here to serve my time. But it probably helps to know that most people in Norway only serve a few years.
So we are entering onto the prison grounds, and what I see is it doesn't look like a prison in California. I could say it looks like almost like a college campus, some type of dormitory.
Yes, we walk past concrete buildings and chain link fences, but there are no guard towers. Instead, there are big windows and lots of natural light. There's trees everywhere, and in front of us, a beautifully maintained soccer field.
See a couple of guys on a soccer field kicking the ball around. Their colors are red. Guess that's probably why they were looking at me in my shirt.
I learned later that the red clothing was only what newly incarcerated people wear. But once it's been approved, they can go back to wearing their own personal clothing. Yes, their own clothes. No prison blues like in Cali. And then there were the living spaces. When you walk in, you first enter a common space, kind of like our shared day rooms at San Quentin. But this one had a fancy TV and video games, a dartboard, and a kitchen.
It's the kitchen?
This is what they meant their food? It smelled like pizza. And very quickly, we found the chef.
We are 10 men here. And 10 men can cook whatever they want.
This is Silva, who was cooking for the rest of his dorm.
They can use this industrial oven to whatever they want. They can watch TV. We can play cards.
But what impressed me the most is that when Silva's cooking, he's got big old knives that he can just pick up and use whenever he wants. But let me tell you about their individual single cells. I had some good cellies over the years, but your own cell?
So I'm looking at this. In this particular cell, they have a refrigerator, right? They have a bed. They have a dresser and a desk, and even have a whiteboard. Yeah, this doesn't look like a jail cell. It looks like a hospital room.
Yeah.
A door to your own bathroom? That doesn't exist in any prison in the state of California. Even having your own cell is rare. California prisons are notoriously overcrowded, and San Quentin is no exception. Tell any guy at San Quentin they can have this cell over their 4x10 cell, and they jump at the chance.
So this is the grocery store, and all units are coming down here to shop once a week.
Yeah, you heard that right. A grocery store. And it does really feel like a little shop you might walk into off the street. So they have tomatoes, oranges, apples. There are spices. Look at this. They have actual meat that you can buy. They have hot dogs. They have bacon. Right? This is a real grocery store, y'all. Isaiah Daniels was one of the formerly incarcerated guys on our trip. And he was just as amazed as I was.
I mean, this is just outrageous. I've never seen, these guys are still in prison, no matter how we look at it. They're still in prison, but it looks like they try to make their lives as easy as possible. And as I keep hearing from the guards, they keep saying, we're not here to punish them. They have already punished themselves by putting themselves here. And so what the guards here do, or this here type of prison, the model that I'm seeing, it helps them to build back the self-esteem that they lost.
That thing that Isaiah's talking about, the relationship with officers, is one of the major philosophies behind Norway's prison system. In California, all guards get is a 13-week academy. Guards here go through 2 years of training, the equivalent of an associate's degree.
Well, we learn all from criminology until ethics. We learn about communication skills. We learn first aid. We also learn, you know, about the communication skills. It's like de-escalating conversation.
In Norway, guards don't carry guns. They are trained to only use force when absolutely necessary and help counsel incarcerated people through problems. Another guard told us they're encouraged to socialize and eat together and play games.
We play cards, backgammon, table tennis. We go out for walks. And like, they have their issues, they have their stories, and I spend quite a lot of time talking to each and every one of them when we have the time.
When we were walking around the grounds, we came across a bunch of incarcerated folks hanging out, sitting around a picnic table, smoking with some guards. We first chatted with a guy named Patrick.
What is it that you really like about the Norwegian prisons?
It's a three-star hotel.
Three-star hotel?
It's like the Holiday Inn.
Okay, and what is it that you don't like?
The court system.
The court system.
I could not believe it. But when we walked up to this group, one of the incarcerated guys put his arm around a female guard's neck and he gave her a noogie. In California, he would have been taken away in handcuffs, heading straight to the hole.
They don't try to punish us. They just try to help us through it.
I think that really works because it gives you opportunity to feel witnessed and seen. Like, I see you.
Yeah, you don't get so far away from society here as you do probably over there.
Right.
But they said that even so, a lot of Norwegians don't love the idea that prisons are getting all this funding to have big sales, full service grocery stores, and great relationships with guards. So a few years ago, people voted in politicians who cut a bunch of funding to prisons. Here's another incarcerated guy named Torstein.
Prison was the flagship of Norway. You know, it got the most funding, it got the most programs, but some people reacted. And when the government changed, they changed the... They lose the election 8 years ago or something, right? They start taking away the money because there was like, if the older cannot, the old people cannot eat good and live good, why should the inmates do that? But they don't understand that this inmate is going to be your neighbor next week, next month, next year. Like this prison is made for, let's say, to have 80 guards on duty all the time, on shifts, you know. But then now they have 40, so sometimes they close.
And these cuts, it's more than just staffing. We could see the effects in the next location we visited, the family visiting space. It's beautiful. There's all sorts of toys, a treehouse deck, a barbecue, but no one can use it right now. That's because in order for incarcerated people to use the space, they have to complete a parenting class. But because of the budget cuts, that class wasn't available at the time we visited.
What about self-help groups?
No, the funding is gone.
Yeah,
the funding.
It's no funding here. The only is education you can have here is like basic school. No higher education here now.
Yeah. No higher education.
They had it before, but they've taken it away.
And they don't have no programs.
No.
It's finished. Everything is cut to the bone there.
They have one, but
and those big old sales we saw? When there are staffing issues, like during the pandemic, some people were getting locked in those cells for up to 22 hours a day. Near the end of our visit, we walked outside past some basketball hoops and met Eric, who was sitting cross-legged on a bench with his yoga mat. He also has some heavy critiques of the system.
Like I say, it's very nice here, but there's no rehabilitation going on here.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a farce. They like to pretend that there is a rehabilitation because they have sort of a model that is supposed to look like how a pro-social lifestyle is. But there's no cognitive change in the process here, and that's sort of... That's one thing, I don't know if it comes out clear enough when international people sort of look at what's going on in Norway.
Norwegian prisons aren't punishing people the same way American ones may be. But there aren't nearly the amount of classes or self-help groups that San Quentin has to offer. Though San Quentin is really unusual in that respect.
In the last couple of years, they've cut down on the finances. So it's even worse here. People are actually getting more criminal by being here because, well, when you don't have any programs, what do you expect from, you know, antisocial individuals hanging out? They're just going to continue being more antisocial, you know?
As I left prison for the second time in just a few months, I thought back to my time in San Quentin.
Guys, take care.
It's the rehabilitative programs that had the most profound effect on me, that made a difference in helping me prepare for life on the outside. But I also would have left prison in better shape if I had the kind of freedoms they had in Norway. Freedom to have your own space and chop your own food and have meaningful relationships with the guards. So there you have it, Greg. I think that if the Norwegian prisons had more access to rehabilitative programs, and if the U.S. prisons had more access to the Norwegian way of not punishing, giving the guys an opportunity to be seen, to be witnessed, to be understood, I think it could really make a difference. For Uncuffed, this is Tommy Shakur Ross. I'm out.
So welcome back to the studio. I'm Greg Eskridge, inside of the studio down here at the Media Center. I got two special guests that I just got through listening to some Norway footage with. To my right, go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
Yeah, I'm Juan Haynes, senior editor for San Quentin News and contributor to Solitary Watch.
I'm Rahsaan New York Thomas, multimedia, social justice.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. So let's jump straight in it. So did anybody hear anything in the recording about transferring to Norway?
I'm not
going. Can we do a prisoner yeah. swap?
No, I'm good. I'm good because prison is prison no matter where you're at, you know, so.
Yeah, a lot stood out to me. First of all, on this maximum security prison, they got butcher knives. That's just unheard of, right? Like, mm-hmm. like you wouldn't even imagine like somebody in the maximum security having access to a butcher knife. When you see one, you think riot, fear, all kinds of things, not chopping up vegetables. And so I think that's amazing that it's safe enough. And I think anywhere could be safe enough. I think it's just about having relationships with people and treating them like people. Because when you treat people like animals, you know what I was saying, they act like animals. And so mm-hmm. I think just taking the cages away and putting into a humane setting makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Also, though, it's crazy that if you are going to be locked down, being locked down in your own cell with your own bathroom is the best way to go. When we were locked down during COVID, it's two men to a cell. You're not going anywhere. When COVID was at its height, it was like 2-3 weeks straight. You didn't get no yard or nothing. It was just straight cell time. And it was horrible. I hate the conditions of San Quentin. It's the worst conditions I've ever experienced anywhere ever. It's a metal bunk that's beating up our backs. It wasn't designed for people to spend the rest of their lives on. It's just archaic. I mean, this place was built in 1850-something. And so it reflects that. But it's the best opportunities. And opportunities are more important because these are going to get me out. These are what got me out sooner and will keep me out forever.
The comparison is like Rahsaan was talking about the cell, right? I try to explain people that have never seen it. It's like the size of your average parking space. And so imagine two people having to live in that space that you go to Walmart in and get out of your car, you know. So that's the space that Rahsaan's talking about that two people have to live in.
But you know what's so interesting? One of the things that kind of stood out to me about the audio, and I want both of you guys to chime in on that, we're talking about the humanity as far as how the guards treat people, right? And so you heard one of the people talk about being a Norway officer, you have to go to school for 2 years, right? Yeah. And then as opposed to the CDCR goes—
13 weeks.
Yeah, 13 weeks. And I heard somebody in there talk about ethics and things of that nature, the social sciences, and how that just transcends into the treatment of people inside of the prison.
Yeah, I think at its very nature, a correctional officer is a people's person's job. But correction doesn't even think of it like that. They think of it as a pepper spray job, a billy club job, a handcuff job. And how you can tell that is that everything in California, the automatic response is lock them down. Mm-hmm. A riot happens, you ain't got nothing to do with it. Lock them down. A virus happens that they let in, lock it down, right? And you can see that as long as you keep that us versus them mentality going, it's going to be hostile. It's going to be antisocial. And antisocial is a byproduct. It's one of the root causes of crime. And so socialization is one of the cures. And why aren't we implementing a cure here?
How would your prison sentence be, your time in prison be, if somebody treated you like you're a human being?
I also think, like, I want to go back before I even got to prison. If I would have felt like part of society, if I'd have mm-hmm. felt like a human being, like recognized as a human being by society, by the police, and I wouldn't be in prison in the first place. I wouldn't have felt like I needed to take the law into my own hands. I wouldn't have felt like, I wouldn't have made the bad decisions that I made, mm-hmm. right? And so it started with me with like policing. Mm-hmm. And then you get to prison and the cycle continues, us against them, right? This blue wall, the green wall, and nobody's communicating. And that was never going to make me a safe, sane person. That was going to keep my insanity going. It was going to justify my sanity, give me excuse to rationalize it, right? It's the socialization that I got in San Quentin that changed everything for me. Because once you, and it's mostly through volunteers, but there are COs that allow that to happen in administration. And there's right. COs that also treat us like human beings and are also social. And knowing that now has changed my allegiance, right? It broke down to us and them. Now it's more about right or wrong, right? Because when you are treated by, well by society, despite your crimes, despite the harm you've done to society, it makes you love and honor and respect society. And now it makes you pro-social and breaks that antisocial behavior away. And that's one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. Now I love society. I want to fix society. We all in prison trying to figure out a way to make it better for them. And they might not even let us go.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that in Norway they wear their own clothes, but they still call them inmates. They treat people like human beings and people get to dress like human beings, but they still call them inmates. Which is dehumanizing, in my opinion.
What a person wears, you know, like, and how a person looks, just plays into their own psyche, their own ego, their own, identity. And so to, like, order a person, like, you have to wear these, you have to wear this, only increases the inability to connect to a person on a personal basis, you know. And so it sustains a separation that you're this and I'm that, you know. So, and it makes it more difficult to have that conversation about who are you and where are you going? What's in your future?
And, you know, and just thinking about that, like how does the United States system adopt this Norwegian model of prisons? Like, how do we begin to do that when there's been so much dark, catastrophic history of abuse of power in the United States, and especially inside the prison system? You know, how do you begin to change that model?
Yeah, I think that it is changing a little bit and we can speed it up. And what I mean by that is a lot of the old mentality is retiring. You know, they did their 20-something, 30-something years, and a new mentality is coming in. Unfortunately, you have small towns where that mentality is inherited. It's part of that culture of that town. And so if you have a negative town with a negative relationship with a prison, you need to get the prison out of that town.
Absolutely.
If we really want to change, you know, like how people are treating people, then it's just like a parent-child relationship. You got to teach a different thing. Right in the beginning, that has to be a part of the curriculum. With the Norwegian style, from what I understand, that's what they're teaching. That's what they're looking for. You have to have that that mentality that, oh, I'm here to help. You see, I'm not here to guard you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you get back to your family, because that should be the objective of corrections.
Now, fellas, we talked about a whole lot today. But one thing we didn't talk about is the grocery store inside of the Norwegian prison.
In Norway, I can't imagine, do they get fresh vegetables? I mean, all the meat we eat has been dead for centuries. They put in these forever pouches. Like, you don't even have to refrigerate them, throwing in your plastic bin under your bed, or it comes out the can in the kitchen. Like, can they buy, like, fresh meat, like fresh vegetables? Are they organic? And if that's so, that's freaking amazing and phenomenal and healthy, and we need that.
Just a grocery store. I mean, they can go out there and just put an empty building in the middle of the yard and just label it grocery store, and I'll be excited. So look, man, so this is what I think we need to do. I think we need to go get a petition and put it together, Juan, and go petition the warden to do a prisoner swap out there in Norway.
Bring Norway to San Quentin. Change the model.
So Juan Haynes, New York, Rahsaan Thomas, man, it's been a pleasure having you guys, man. Thank you guys for lending your brilliant voices to the Uncuffed. appreciate this, man. I definitely definitely look forward to working with you guys again. Thank you. I just want to say thank you on behalf of the Uncuffed team. Appreciate you guys, man. And hopefully one day we all get a chance to go to Norway outside of being incarcerated. We can just go over there and fly over there just to go hang out with the fellas.
Yeah, I'll do it that way.
I appreciate y'all, man. Greg Eskridge, signing off for Uncuffed.
That was an excerpt from Uncuffed. That episode first aired in 2022, and it just won a Silver Award at the New York Festival Radio Awards. The Uncuffed team includes Greg Eskridge, Tommy Shakur Ross, BF Thames, Brian Mazza, Orlando Johnson, and Mayuto Guzman. Special thanks to Juan Haynes and Rashan New York Thomas, and a big thank you to Rover Radio and Amend at UCSF for coordinating the Uncuffed trip to Norway. Also, thanks to all of you who donated to help the team get to Oslo. Our work in prisons is supported by the California Arts Council and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The producers fact-check content to the best of their ability, and all content is approved by an information officer. You can hear more by subscribing to Uncuffed on your podcast player. And if you're into sci-fi and romance, KLW's Janae Darden, host of Sights and Sounds, is joining author Mike Chen to talk about his novel, A Quantum Love Story. It's about a couple who may never love again if they don't escape a time loop. They'll also chat about Mike Chen's work with Star Wars and Star Trek. That conversation takes place tonight at Books, Inc. in Alameda. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.